Hey, everybody. My name is April Lovett.
And my name is Daryl Lovett.
We've been together for 5 years, and we have a 3-year-old sweet and sassy little girl, an adorable and smiley baby boy, and our fur child, our dog, Lainey.
That's right. We also work our 9-to-5 jobs together, we teach together, and we co-own The Lovett Company.
That's right. We do so much together, and we wanted to share some of our tips and tricks for living out our 24/7 relationship.
Oh, yes. A relationship that is all day, every day.
Plus, we want to share with you how we manage to run our side business alongside full-time jobs and still find time for kids, chores, and fun. So in this podcast, the Success in Black and White podcast, we'll be talking about working towards success, overcoming failures, and just living our everyday lives.
So get ready. We're going to be bringing to you real talk concepts every week as we share some of our stories, best practices, as well as talk to guests about how they have found success by doing extraordinary things in their everyday lives.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to an episode of the Success in Black and White podcast.
We are back in the house coming at you live. Success in Black and White, the podcast.
Not live for them. Live for us because
yeah,
we're
live
recording.
For us. We always live. We always keeping things live.
Oh, my goodness. Well, yeah, we're excited to be back.
Yeah.
Today, we're talking about identifying your gifts.
Gifts.
And how to use them.
That's right.
I'm
sure everybody likes gifts.
Everybody likes gifts.
Yeah.
And everybody has gifts.
Yes.
You just maybe don't know it.
Exactly.
They're not from Santa Claus.
No. There is no Santa Claus in this house.
I hope your kids aren't listening and we just ruined it.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Sorry if the kids are listening.
So before we get into identifying your gifts, let's do some life updates.
You want me to go first?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, my life update is I am consistently now growing gray hairs in my beard and mustache. That's my life update.
I don't see them.
I do.
Like, I'm looking at you. You look good. You would look good if you had gray, too. But
yeah. No, I am consistently growing grays in my beard and mustache. I'm about to get to the point to where I'm just going to stop plucking them out. I made it a long time. My dad, he didn't even start getting grays until he was like in his 40s.
Does your dad have gray?
Now he does.
Oh. Huh.
Yeah. Okay. But like while we were growing up, he always had like no grays, head full of hair, everything that I stopped having when I was like mid to late 20s. My hair stopped growing back.
Oh.
Now the gray's coming in.
Aww.
And he had more kids than we got. So I don't know how that joker didn't get no grays.
He's young at heart.
Okay. I need to get some of that blood.
That is your blood.
I need some of that whatever he got blood.
That's funny.
I got my mama blood.
I haven't seen any gray yet in me. Have you seen gray? Am I gray?
I plead the fifth. I plead the fifth.
Well, if I don't see it, it's not there. So
that's right.
We'll just
it doesn't
go with
count
that.
If you don't see it.
It doesn't count if I don't see it.
And I'm not going to help you see it if I do so.
Aww.
I got you.
Thanks.
No problem.
That's helpful. So my life update is you guys have probably been like if you follow me on social media, then you can tell that obviously like we're on a health kick.
Health kick, if that's what you want to call it.
What would you call it?
A gas kick.
Oh my God. So.
Yeah, exactly. I call it a gas kick. She call it a health kick.
So we're eating a lot healthier.
Yeah.
There were a lot of reasons that we needed that. Well, definitely I needed to do that. And Daryl was like, I'm along for the ride. I'm going to support you. Like here for the journey.
Why
he might be
I
regretting
that?
It.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Why did I say that? Can I jump off the train?
No.
Oh my goodness.
You're supporting me.
I am. I can support you off the train.
So I started out by cutting dairy, sugar, like any additional sugar, added sugar. I'm still eating fruit. And then processed foods for a very specific reason. And it was to try to figure out what was wrong with my gut microbiome, which is like this new scientific, I don't know how new of a discovery it is, but it's like the new scientific buzz in the past year is about how much they're discovering about the gut microbiome. And I know like I needed to heal of parts of it, some of it, all of it, I don't know. So I cut a lot of these things. I felt really good. And then this past weekend, we watched What the Health, which is a documentary, a food documentary on Netflix. Mm-hmm. And then I made Daryl watch parts of Forks Over Knives, yeah, which is another food documentary on Netflix. And since then, I've probably had all of like 4 ounces of meat altogether this entire week for the past 5 days.
Oh my goodness.
So Daryl has also not had that much meat, although I tried to make you meat tonight.
She made me chicken tonight.
He was like, what is this?
Yeah. It's all good though. Like,
I'm not going to lie. Like I feel really good. And I remember it was a couple years ago. I was actually vegan, pretty straight, and pretty unwavering vegan for 2 years. And it's the healthiest I've ever felt in my life, but it's very restrictive. So yeah,
this was before me.
That was before you.
Yeah. Pre Daryl. No way.
Yeah, so it was very restrictive, but I remember now that I'm cutting so much and just eating really clean and a lot of veggies and fruits and whole grains, why I did it, because I feel so much better. So anyway, that's my life update.
I'm eating clean too. I'm making sure that my plate is clean after I'm done eating every meal. So, hey, I'm eating clean too.
You were just so silly.
No.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Been rough though, y'all, because my body just is not used to this. So
so this is really interesting. And I just heard this from a doctor, a gastroenterologist.
This is the stuff that I've been listening to lately.
I know.
Y'all.
So I'm making him listen to podcasts with basically gut doctors because I just butchered that word. But so anyway, he says that your diet or your microbiome is matched to your diet, basically. So if you're used to eating a certain type of food, then it's going to take a while for your microbiome to change when you change your diet. So that could be why you're experiencing some gas.
Some? I'm like a walking atomic bomb around this thing.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, it ain't no shame in my game. I'm telling you, like
it ain't no
shame in my game. And hopefully this isn't TMI for y'all. Hopefully y'all feel close enough to us and have been following us for a while and are listening and like, this dude is crazy. But like a walking atomic bomb around this thing.
If you don't get gas, then you're not eating food, and that's not good either.
I'm talking about like my meals consist of like 5 different types of beans.
That was our meal tonight.
And like greens and the broccoli. Oh my goodness. I've been eating like 1/2 bags of broccoli for lunch.
Fiber is so good for you.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, we're going to get off the gut.
Yeah, let's talk about identifying your gifts and how to use them. This was a really fun topic that we kind of decided to talk about. Well, we have actually taught strengths and finding your leadership strengths in our class for years.
Yep.
And so this is one. It was kind of leadership. It's sometimes you can look at it as like, you know, spiritual, but we're just going to kind of approach it from the lens of what are our gifts as people.
As people. Yeah, I think that's a great approach. And some of it may overlap into other beliefs that you have about your gifts. Right. Because I think it all intertwines personally. So.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it from a generic perspective, but for you, it may overlap. For me, it does. So
right.
You can take it from that point of view as well.
Right. Okay. So I think we should start and really just define what are gifts. Because like, you know, gifts can be anything. Like, are you going to buy me jewelry and flowers? Or like, what are gifts?
Nah, we just said there's no Santa Claus. So
there has to be a Santa Claus for you to buy me something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what how would you define gifts for yourself?
Like natural abilities or talents, things that come to you pretty easily, things that you grasp the concept of fairly easily, and things that you can execute kind of effortlessly, but you do that with purpose.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's what I think gifts are. And that's how I would define gifts.
Okay. So kind of for me, the same thing. I think that gifts are different than skills. I even think they're different than talents, mm-hmm. in that they just really come very naturally for you. So for instance, you and I maybe like right now at this point in our lives, maybe very skilled basketball or tennis, whatever. Like say we're basketball players and right. we're both equally skilled.
Right.
I am not a natural. Okay. Let's just be like, this is for real. Even without the example, I'm really not a natural athlete. Like I have no balance or coordination or anything.
True story.
So like when I work out, I love to run and lift weights because it's very minimally that I injure myself, although it's happened before. But anyway, so for me, it doesn't come naturally. So for me to be just as skilled as you, I'm going to have to work my tail off my entire life. I'm practicing. I'm in leagues every day. I do 500 free throw shots and, you know, I have an aim to make 200 of those. And like, I'm just continuously and consistently practicing my game so I can stay at your level. But you maybe played a couple times, you maybe joined a little league basketball team, you dropped it off in high school, in college, you played a few times, but really just for fun. And then you were conditioning. And then all of a sudden you came back and you played me and we had the same level of skill.
Right.
So for you, basketball is a talent, but it's also a gift because it's something that comes so naturally to you that you don't have to work at it.
Right.
For me, it is not a gift because even though I can maybe have the same skill level as you, it's something I have to really work for. And so the sports analogy to me was good because I think that pertaining to what we kind of talk about as we talk about gifts tonight, that's going to be... like, that's kind of how I see them.
I got you. And that makes perfect sense. I agree with you 100% on that.
Although when we talk about gifts for like tonight, what we're really talking about, I think, are like the intangible, the things that you can't really see without really seeing the result.
Right.
Of that gift, of using that gift.
Yeah.
And the result is something completely different.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So we'll kind of talk about that.
And then just to take it a little bit deeper, I mean... your gifts extend to your passion, which then is tied into your purpose, which then overflows into your life calling. So if you have gifts and you're using them, they're not going to just be identified as that one specific gift. It's going to put you in position and it's going to provide you opportunities. And you're going to make certain commitments that it ties into your life as a whole. So when we're talking about gifts, we're talking about those kind of gifts. I know we use the sports analogy, but like those are, I don't want to use the term superficial gifts, but those are kind of like those talents and gifts that you just kind of use freely and it's not really impacting you as a person.
That's true. That makes complete sense. Yeah. Very true. So my question for you is how would one go about discovering what their gifts are?
I think that it starts with exploration and you have to do that like a deep exploration of just kind of what you like doing and what you feel comfortable trying. Because if you don't feel comfortable with it, then more than likely it's probably not your gift. And the reason why I say that is because, like we said, it comes naturally. And if it comes naturally, you feel comfortable doing it. And then you usually figure out if it's something that is a gift or is a talent that you would like to continue to pursue. So I think that from a discovery standpoint is that you have to explore it And it usually is natural abilities. It usually is talent. It's usually associated with passion as well. Mm-hmm. It's something that you enjoy doing, you like doing, and you like being involved in. Also, during that discovery phase, you have to make sure that you are doing like some type of self-assessment, finding out like, I enjoy doing this. This could be my gift. How can I continue to pursue this? How is this benefiting me? How is this benefiting others? And in that process, you'll become more aware. And then with some proper guidance and the self-exploration, through what some people refer to as trial and error, you can apply your gifts to other things or share them with other people and find out if it's something that is for you or is actually your gift. Because there are a lot of things that can be picked up and you could classify them as like gifts or talents and come to find out, it's just really kind of a hobby because I'm not really passionate about. And it's not something that I want to develop, even though you have discovered it.
Yeah, good point. I definitely agree with all of those things. And I also, I like what you said about kind of the self-assessment. Because I think that...
I know you would like that?
I love assessment. But really, truly, and it's so funny because I do assessment and I do enjoy it. And I'm not great with self-assessment when it comes to being super reflective and patient and like listening to yourself. And I'm starting to try to like do that a little bit more.
Right, right.
But so much of what you talked about is what you should do in order to understand your gifts is just get to know you for who you are and figure out what is your deeper calling and your meaning. I have a couple tips for people who maybe are like, God, I haven't found my calling yet, or I don't know my purpose, right? One of the things that we do are strengths assessment. And there's actually a strengths finder. Like that's the actual like proprietary assessment is strengths finder. And so they kind of ask you this series of questions. And then once you go through the series of questions, it spits back out this, like your top 5 strengths and your top 10 strengths. And then, I think you can get all 34.
Yes,
so you
can.
Know what's at the bottom. So they have like a list of 34 different traits, and characteristics and even behaviors. And so they send you back this list and they give you your top 5, and the top 5 are your top 5 strengths.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah. So most of the time, and it's funny because I've taken this strengths finder probably 7 times now in my life, like throughout the course of every couple years. And it's usually very accurate and they change. Like mine have changed, not a lot. I usually have 2 or 3 that stay in my top 5.
Right. Yeah.
But then there's a couple that change just depending on the season of life I'm in or what I'm working on with myself at that time with self-development and self-growth. So we're going to talk about those for us in a second because we do them every year with our class now.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is really important, and you kind of mentioned this a little bit, but is to listen to the people closest to you.
Yeah, proper guidance.
And the people who are close to you or even like your coworkers that you work with every day, they're going to be, if you're open to feedback, they're going to be able to give you an honest assessment of what your gifts are, what your strengths are, and what you bring to the table. On the flip side of that, they can also tell you maybe what you need to work on. So you just have to be open to listening to it, but that's not a bad thing. Because once you figure out your strengths, you need to be able to figure out what, I hate the word weaknesses, but what are those challenge
opportunities
points?
Opportunities for growth.
Yeah, opportunities for growth. Yes. So definitely listening to the people you're close to.
Yeah, I was going to say with that though, I'd like to give a disclaimer. Don't listen to everybody and let everyone speak into your life of what they think your gifts are and you start to try to adapt yourself to that.
Oh, that's a great point.
And don't let people force what they think your gifts should be onto you. And then you start to try to identify with those gifts and make them yours when they could possibly not be yours.
Yeah, that's
so,
a really
good
point.
That's a disclaimer point.
And we did actually have that discussion. I'm trying to remember what episode that is, but in one of the episodes, we talk about Daryl really talks about how that affected his life.
Right. And then that's why I said that.
Yeah.
That's why I gave that disclaimer.
Yeah. I think that's a really good point to make. So now that we said that we do this strengths finder, people are probably wondering, like, what are our strengths?
Uh-oh.
So do you have, I have your list of yours because
I don't have my list. I didn't know we were going to be doing that. So go for it.
Do you want me to tell what your strengths are?
Yeah, go ahead. Read them off.
So Daryl's strengths, his top strength is that he is an arranger. And this kind of falls into like execution. So he makes critical decisions. Arrangers perceive how things work together. They predict how elements or people will work together in the future, and they make decisions accordingly. Like, this is a, to be your top strength. I'm in awe of this because I only have, I think I only have one execution in mine.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry. I have zero execution in my top five. So I'm very in awe of people who this comes naturally to them because, funny enough, this is part of my job. Like, I have to help strategic plan and really think strategically in future situations. And that's not a gift for me. It's something I have to develop.
Yeah, that's accurate. I mean, if you've listened in, you know, I say it all the time. April says it all the time. Process oriented,
yep.
Structured. You're that's who I am. I'm an arranger.
Yeah. Your second top strength is you're a relator. And this falls in the relationship category. So relators enjoy close relationships with others and enjoy working with people they're close to achieve a goal. This is like not even remotely a surprise to me because I feel like you have, I don't want to say you have few friendships. That's not true. You have good friendships, but you are very, you make sure that you know and you vet the people who are closest to you and that you let close to you.
Definitely. And yeah. The thing is, you can put me in a room with anyone and
true.
I can find a way to relate.
That's very
like you
true.
Put me in a room with anybody, and yeah. I'm pretty sure
yeah.
that at some point during the time that we're engaging, I will be able to find a way to relate and to engage with that person or those people. So yeah,
that is so true.
I definitely agree with that as well. But like you said, though, because I am process oriented and I am an arranger, mm-hmm. like I'm very strategic about who I engage with and how I engage with them before we fully get to the mingling stuff.
Right.
So I know what you meant when you said like, I don't have like a lot of close like people, but no, I'm
like the people that you're friends with, you are very close to. Like those definitely. Are solid friendships, never going anywhere.
Yeah. But I can also engage in, you know,
you can work a room
relationships and things like that.
Your third one is actually the same one that I have, and it's my number four, and that's developer. And developers see nothing but potential in others, and they have a strong belief that everybody has potential and can grow. And it's funny because we haven't really reviewed these. Like, we do them with our class, but we don't review them as in-depth for us,
yeah,
as we do for the students.
Yep.
And so it's been a while since I've looked at these, and it all, like, completely makes sense as to why we're like doing what we're doing and why we both care about it.
Exactly.
And we're both developers. And so we really want to see people grow and that everybody has potential.
Yeah. Wow.
Isn't that funny?
This is correct. Yeah. I mean, it is spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So your number four is that you're a learner. I was surprised by this. I don't know why, but you're a learner, and learners love to learn and enjoy the process of learning itself even more than the topic that they're learning about.
That's true.
I don't know why I was surprised by that. That surprised me.
I don't know why I surprised you either, because I do love to learn. But the thing is, if you go back and look at my previous two, as I'm developing people, we're learning mm-hmm. together.
Mm.
So I think I enjoy that aspect of it. And then when you're talking about the meeting people, learning about things, you know, that people have to offer that they want to improve.
Right.
Like, I think it, like, taking that stuff in and then applying the things that I can to help them develop themselves. Like, I think that's the learning aspect that I can personally identify with.
Oh.
So when it says learning, like, yeah, I'm learning about people. I'm learning about what they have going on, what they want to improve. And then as we go through the process together of helping them get there, we're learning together. We are developing together. And all I'm doing is offering some of my knowledge, my skill set, and my wisdom. And the rest we're figuring out and learning together. Oh. And I'm just facilitating the process.
Very cool.
Yeah.
That makes sense when you explain it like that.
Yeah. That's how I perceived it. I don't know what the definition over there reads, but in my mind, like, that's how it fits and it makes sense.
Yeah. Like, that makes sense since you say it like that. And then your number five out of your top five is responsibility. And this also falls in executing. So yeah. Responsible people are conscientious, dedicated, and focused on doing the right things and doing things right.
Ooh.
This was like not even remotely a surprise. Like, duh. I thought for sure this would be your number one or yeah. number two, maybe.
No, that's true. That's fitting. That's perfect. Yeah. I mean,
like, all five of these together are spot on. So you. Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's completely what makes up your personality.
Yeah. And if you think about it, you know, we're talking about gifts and how we use our gifts and what you and I are doing together and what we've started from our business to this podcast and the way that it all works together.
Yeah.
Like, that right there, if you wanted to put a definition together, like, that is what you would use as your framework.
Yeah.
For me.
For you. True.
Definitely.
So I feel like mine are very spot on too. And my gifts from the Strengths Finder, at least, are number one is I'm an includer. And this is so funny because I remember, like, so this can, includers can bother other people because includers want everybody to feel included and they're typically drawn to those that are marginalized or often get left out and want them to feel included.
Yes, Lord.
That is me to a T. Like, that's my number one. It's not a surprise. Like, I want everybody to feel like they have a voice at the table and to feel like they have agency in whatever situation they're in and that they can be heard and to just feel included. And so I know that in the past, this has like rubbed some people the wrong way. Like, why do you want that person to be included? And I'm like, because everybody should be included. Like, that's my frame of mind.
No, they shouldn't. Not everybody. Not everybody all the time. Let me rephrase that.
Right.
Everybody should have an opportunity to voice their opinions and all that stuff, but not everybody all the time. And that's what her and I go back and forth on. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, okay, like, I get it. Like, everybody should have an opportunity. Everybody should have a voice. Everybody should have a space.
Yep.
But not everybody all the time. Keep it moving. No, they need to keep sitting down over there where they're at right now. And we'll come back to them and let them be heard when we're done with this, when we've made a decision, when we're progressing.
It's so funny because, and we'll talk, I mean, we're getting into it now, but we'll talk a little bit later too about how your gifts can actually be detrimental to
process
sometimes.
That shows y'all how much, yeah, we'll get to that later, but that was just the intro to it. Y'all can't tell how I feel about that one.
But that is my number one.
There is use
to it sometimes. So my second one is woo. And like, I'm very relational. All of these are mostly relationships. But my second one is woo. And woo, it's basically a social intelligence theme. So wooers, or people who have woo, have the capacity to motivate and inspire others. And I feel like I saw it a lot more, when I like had a staff and had a lot of influence with staff members and peers. But I do still feel like this is pretty accurate.
Mm-hmm.
My third one is adaptability. And so people with adaptability really have the ability to live in the present and they're freely and willingly adapt to change. And this has been like basically the entire story of my whole life, I feel like. So I don't even know, like, I'm not sure if this is a gift or if it's a learned skill that I've just gotten really, really good at. But it always, every single time, shows up somewhere in my top five, always. My number four is developer. Like we said before. So yeah. Again, I see nothing but potential in others, and I have a strong belief that everybody can grow. And my fifth one, which is also a recurring theme, no matter how many times I've taken this, is achiever. Achievers have stamina for hard work and they like to accomplish things. That is like, literally, I told my supervisor the other day that I'm a doer. I'm like, I'm a doer. Just give me the things to do. And she was like, okay. Like, I am an achiever, and that's what achievers do. But so achiever and adaptability always end up in my top five every single time, no yeah. matter what.
Those all sound about right.
Yep. So that kind of makes up who I am. There's also, so I think if we go back to, and this is just for me, I don't know, you may have a story that you want to share too or not, but I'm going to share the story about me.
Go for it.
Because it's a way that I was able to really discover, like all of those things are, I think, either skills and or talents or gifts. They're strengths is probably the best way to put them in a strengths finder. And some of them I think are gifts.
Yeah.
Some of them may have been developed and I'm still working on developing. And they're just strong points for my personality. But I really discovered my gift, and I'll just label it gift. And it was so weird. It's after we started the business. This was not that long ago. This was probably all of like 4 months ago, maybe.
Wow.
And I remember because I texted you what it was. I don't know if you remember this day. I was walking on campus. And I was listening to a podcast because sometimes when you walk across our campus, it's like a 5 or 10 minute walk. So I like get in parts of a podcast here and there. So I was listening to Jenna Kucher's Gold Digger podcast, and she was interviewing somebody who was talking about how she viewed marketing as storytelling. And really, like, the more she talked about it, the more that it dawned on me that storytelling was my gift. And like, not from a marketing standpoint, because I'm not a marketer, I'm not in advertising, I don't do that kind of stuff. I do enjoy interviewing, although I don't really think it means interviewing either. So I think, like, I love to tell somebody else's story. I love to share their story. I really like to make them look good. Like, I like to share their story, help them find a voice and make them look good. And the reason that I remember being so shocked that I had listened to that podcast on that particular day is because the day before that, I had helped a friend and colleague of ours write a proposal for an award that they won. And so she had emailed me and said, hey, this is so amazing that you wrote this award like this, because all of the stuff that I do, I didn't think was that great. And when you wrote it for me and you laid it out the way that you did, you told a story that I didn't even think about myself. And I was able to, like, I could fully understand how this could be enough to get an award. And when it was just me trying to write it by myself, I didn't understand how I could do that. Like, none of this really, I felt like it mattered, but you were able to do that for me. And so that made me feel really good. Like, I really helped this person out, right? And so then I had another, actually really recently, like this past week, I was helping my mom with her resume, and she sent me her resume, and I looked at it and I went through and I like beefed it up, and I really worked on it so I could rewrite it and make her sound the way that she should sound, that she's done a lot of work in her lifetime and she has all this knowledge and she has all these skills. And when she got it back, she was like, thank you so much. Like, the way that you wrote the things that I do make me feel so good about myself and the work I've done over the years. Because she was starting to kind of feel like, what have I done that's so great? Because she couldn't see it on paper. So I helped like change her perspective of herself.
I remember when you were doing that.
Right.
And I remember when you had that moment and you sent me that text. And
you remember
I was
that?
Like, yeah, I remember that. And I was like, you are absolutely right. And I was like, I don't know how you just now realize this, because you've been doing it that I've known, like you said, with some of those employees and some of our mentees and stuff, with helping them prepare or tell their stories mm-hmm. as they were getting ready to transition while in college, and some transition out of college. And I've noticed it. I just didn't have the exact title storyteller with it, but I knew that you were good with helping people express yeah. who they were and express a lot of things that they were able and capable of in a way that it was received, not only just received, but the way that it was like interesting, like entertaining, that it was engaging.
Right.
So I already knew that.
I love it. And you know, when our friend won that award, I felt so good. And not because I helped them, but not because I did any of the work for them to get that award. It wasn't because of me that they got it. It was because of her work and everything she did. But because I could help tell that story and be behind the scenes, that's what made such a difference. And so that was like, I texted you and I'm like, I found my gift. And it was when I was listening to Jenna Kutcher's podcast and she had a storyteller on who was a marketer, which is different.
Right.
But that was it. And even now to this day, I'm like, that's what I love to do. If I could be a ghostwriter for biographies, I would do it. If I could, you know, write resumes for people for the rest of my life, I would do it. Like, I love to do those things and I love to tell a story.
But the thing is, like, you are really good at it. And I mean, I think your like return rate is almost close to 100%.
Yeah, true.
And I think if it's not 100%, it's because it just wasn't submitted, or if it just wasn't shared. And I mean, like, I'm not surprised by that at all. And you're really good at it. And obviously I'm biased, but I mean, if you ask anybody else that you've helped with this or that you assisted with this, I guarantee you that the recommendation will come highly. And it's just me tooting your horn for you a little bit.
I appreciate that.
And what's so crazy is like how you said you have identified it as your gift. It ties into everything else that you're passionate about.
True.
You know what I mean? Like the assessment stuff and getting the data and putting all the information together and sharing it back out.
True.
That's storytelling.
Yeah. You know, I don't even like, okay, I shouldn't say this because it's my job and I technically like it, but it's not the analysis of data that I like.
Right.
It's the ability to see how the story that I can tell from the data and the visuals I can share will help influence how somebody sees that piece of data or that person or that organization. That's what I like about it.
Yeah, how it all comes together.
Exactly.
So in order for it to come together, you have to go through that part of the process.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, I use the term crazy. I mean, it's just amazing and how it all comes together, and how I was telling you, like, your gifts is tied into your passion, which is tied into your purpose,
right?
Which overflows into your calling,
right?
And it is all aligns, and it doesn't always happen like that. But when it does, though, it just makes it that much easier to identify as like, this is my gift. This is it.
You know what's so funny is, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, but I don't like to tell my story.
Yeah.
But I love to tell other people's stories.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why we work so well, too, is because you are good at telling your own story. And so when you're up there giving a motivational speech, I can easily help tell your story through different modes and means and different contexts, which is so fun for me, whether that's like helping you write things or whether it's understanding your story and being able to advertise for you or market, you know, create campaigns, whatever it is. So I think that's what's so impactful, is that it's about other people for me, which is funny because then when you look back into my strengths, that's all it is. I'm an includer. I want everybody to feel heard. You know, I'm a developer, like all of those things. It's just funny.
Yeah. So,
So my next question was, I already kind of answered this, but for you, how do you use your gifts in your life?
I guess I'll start with the backstory. I haven't always used my gifts in my life. Like I would pick and choose. Like I have a couple of like very strong core gifts. And some of those I would use depending on the timing and with who, but I wouldn't always use them. And I went for a while in my life, just kind of hiding my gifts and not really sharing. And one of the reasons being is because, of associations and listening to other people. And, obviously they identify some of those gifts, but telling me or kind of pushing me or forcing me to how to use my gifts, right. You know, so there was some resentment and I was just like, nah, just because you're trying to get me to use this way, you're telling me to use this way, I'm just not going to use it at all. And that was an approach that I took for a very long time and for a large portion of my life until it got to a point to where I finally came out side of that thought process and I took a chance and I started using my gifts just little by little, and then I began to see the impact that it had on other people. But not only that, I began to see the effect that it had on me, meaning that there was a sense of fulfillment. And once I realized and was able to see and accept that sense of fulfillment, I was like, I'm supposed to be doing this.
Yeah.
You know, I got this gift. I've sat on it for so long. I've kind of avoided it and suppressed it because of things that other people have done, because of experiences that I've had, because of crossroads that I've had in my life journey. But it's a gift. I'm supposed to use it. I'm supposed to share it.
Right.
And then by me starting to share it, I started to find fulfillment because I was like, this gift was given to me, not for me to hoard, for me to use. And I just helped this person. And by doing that, that was a sense of fulfillment for me. But not only that, that was a link that I had that came through my gift. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So that's kind of how I broke out of that thought process and that very toxic mindset of, I'm not going to use my gift for this reason or that reason.
Right.
And started to use my gift and also started to receive that sense of fulfillment, but also realize what the calling on my life was.
Mm.
So when all of that came together, it made it easier for me to use my gift. It also made it a little more comfortable for me to use my gift and not be ashamed of it and not associate it with what other people have tied to me through my gift, but associated with me as a person, my calling and my gift and my fulfillment.
Can you just, what is your gift?
What is my just gift? Everybody want to know what my gift is. I was just going to keep saying my gift and never tell anybody. No. It's kind of a combination, I guess. And it kind of goes with some of those strength finders. Like my gift is a combination of teaching and leading through encouraging and uplifting others.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
That's what my gift is, no matter what platform, no matter what place, no matter what, you know, where you are in life. Like, that's my gift. It's a combination of teaching, leading, encouraging and uplifting.
Yeah,
in everything that I do.
Yep, definitely agree with that.
And it just so happens that I'm able to do that through my life story, which is done on a large scale through the motivational speaking.
Yep.
And then if you go and you talk about my strength finders, being able to relate to people while standing up in front of them, telling my story.
That is something, like, I don't know that I've ever seen a motivational speaker who can do that so well. Out of all the ones that I've seen, you are really good at relating to the audience. And I've just never seen that.
That's a part of my gift, though. Yeah. Like, I can't claim that 100% me. Like, that's God-given.
Mm, yeah, I agree.
Like, that is God-given. And here's the thing, whereas, like you said, for you and you've experienced it, because it's God-given, I give all of the thanks and the glory through that to him.
Right.
So I'm not so much as worried about my platform.
Right.
Which, you know, when you're talking about being a motivational speaker and you got to like do big events, right, you have to get the masses and
all the stuff.
All the stuff.
Yeah.
Like for me, it matters obviously to get those accolades, excuse me, to get those accolades. And obviously there is some financial contribution to that. Like all of that matters. But in the end, that's God's gift to me for a reason, and that's a calling on my life.
Right. So you have to use it.
So I have to use it.
Yeah.
But also, that's the fulfillment for me.
Right.
So if I'm giving a motivational speech to 100 people or 5,000, however the intent that God puts me in that place, in that moment, it's what's going to come out of it. Regardless.
Right.
And that's where my mentality is. It's not getting up wooing 5,000 people, making thousands of dollars, and no one is being impacted.
Right.
Or no one is being affected in a positive light to help uplift them and put them in a place to where they're supposed to be through me and my story and my gift.
Right.
I almost just like went motivational speaking.
I know.
Just then. I'm sorry. But I'm passionate about it.
Yeah.
Like I want everybody to know.
It's your calling.
Like it's my calling. It's my mm-hmm. gift. I know it. I finally accept it and I'm not running from it. I ran from it for a long time.
Right.
Because of associations, because of force pushed on me or because of negative thoughts that I had about doing it. And it is my gift. And it's my calling. And I ran and I ran and I ran. And finally, it was like, man, you're missing out on this fulfillment in your life by not using your gift. And once I realized that and started impacting people and then starting to hear back from them of how I helped them through situations, circumstances, or helped them get to certain levels and certain places, I was like, this is it. Like, I got to use this. I got to refine my skill sets that is associated with my gifts. So
listen,
I can't sit
us.
On this anymore.
Yeah. Listen to us. This is so funny because I think this is also another way that you can tell what your gift is you want to talk about it. You want to get it out. It's almost like it spills out of you. Like I could talk about telling other people's stories all day. I could tell other people's stories all day long and I could talk about how I can do that. And I can't talk about things about myself very easily. And Daryl can talk about his gift and his calling for teaching and for motivating all day long, right? So I think that when you find something that you can talk about all day long and you know it's your strong point and you know it's something that is just, that's your gift, you found it. Like that's your strong suit, that's your gift, and look more towards refining it. So as
she
we talk,
just did an amazing job of reeling me back in because she can feel my energy.
I know,
like right
your energy
now,
is
like,
up. You're hyped.
I'm,
yeah,
I'm up right now. I didn't start off this way, but I'm there right now. You did a great job of bringing me back in.
Good, because
anyways, take the mic, baby.
Because my next question is then along with that, how do you cultivate your gift?
Definitely exploring it. Like when yeah. I first opened up to using my gift, I had to explore it.
Was it, let me ask you, was it easy for you to get up and speak in front of people or did that take commitment and skill?
Always been easy.
Okay.
Always been easy.
Which is
to
part
do
of
it.
The reason you knew it was your gift.
Right.
But you still have to do it to practice, right? So you're cultivating that through.
Yeah, you definitely
speaking.
Have to explore it. a gift without skills is not gonna go far.
Right, agree.
You know, you definitely have to build your skill sets. Excuse me. I'm emotional right now, but you definitely have to I am sorry, y'all. You definitely have to build your skill set around your gift so that you can use it in the most effective and efficient way. So agree. Yeah, definitely exploring it and continuing to build and develop it and improving the skill sets around it.
I agree. I struggled with how to think exactly of of how I would cultivate my gift, but I think just like what you said is I know what my gift is, and if that's storytelling, then how do I really grow my skill set and the things that surround it?
Right.
So especially for me right now in my roles, if I'm looking at analysis of data and that's helping me tell the story, but I'm not super strong in like, oh my gosh, if any of you are listening and like have been through master's degrees in research and you know SPSS and in vivo and all of those like analysis softwares, those are skills that I still have to learn and build, because that's going to put me on the edge of actually using my gift in storytelling. So maybe cultivating isn't always so fun, but it's necessary. Definitely, like you said.
Definitely necessary.
Yeah. Do you know, because I kind of read to you your strengths, even right. though you've done this before, so you probably know.
Right.
But out of those strengths from the Strengths Finder, what was one of them that was more towards the bottom of your list that you wish you were good at or that you would like to become better at?
Ooh, out of those five?
No, out of the 34.
Out of like, the 34?
Yeah, one of them that was like bottom of your list-ish.
Ooh.
That you want to be better at.
Definitely one of your tops in the woo.
Woo, yeah.
Yeah, because everything that we do and how you and I both work together so well, it would be nice to have that woo to
bring it all together.
yes.
Oh, we're silly.
Yeah. No, really. That is, you know, and that's something that is just not at the top of my list.
I gotcha. Okay. For me, it's being futuristic. It's funny because I've had to force myself to do this, especially in the past couple of years as I've gotten more into goal setting and strategic planning. So I'm good at it, but it does not come naturally to me. And futuristic is just difficult. And I think it's my high propensity for adaptability. Like adaptability is in my top five. And so to be adaptable, I really have to live in the present. And I've always done that. And so futuristic is just one that I really continue to, it's a struggle that I've learned to overcome, and I'm still overcoming it because it's not a gift. It does not come naturally to me. So how can your gift be a hindrance sometimes to you?
My gift personally or just in general?
Maybe you can do both.
Okay. Well, I'll start with the personal aspect of it. How my gift can personally be a hindrance is, you know, like we said earlier, your gifts are like things that come effortlessly and easy, and that you can do. And sometimes the challenging part is when it comes that easy, you don't apply or put as much effort into building it and growing your gift and improving it and the skill set around it.
Right.
You know, and the analogy that you gave earlier about sports, like that was kind of like my sport life, because right. I was naturally athletic and I had abilities and talents that I kind of just tried to live off of those, as opposed to building a skill set to complement my abilities and my talents.
Right. Your gift for sports.
Yeah.
Which was, yeah.
So I played football and I was just naturally gifted and talented because of just having those gifts and those abilities.
Right.
And I wouldn't always go as hard in practice to refine my skill sets.
Right.
Which would have further enhanced my abilities.
Right.
And I think that it's easy to do that sometimes when you have gifts and they come so easy and you can do them with your eyes closed and it takes not much effort and you think you got it and you really don't refine your skill sets to enhance those gifts.
Right, right.
I think that's where hindrance can come in. Also, on the flip side of how I said people can try to force gifts and things on you, they can also hype you up to make you believe that your gift is more than what it is.
Ooh, good point.
You know what I mean? You have the hype people in your corner as opposed to
the reality checks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they can hype you up and make you perceive or think your gift is more than what it is. And that can be a hindrance as well and hold you back from fully getting that fulfillment of using your gift to the full potential.
Ooh, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you talked about that.
So that's kind of in general and for me personally. But over like different experiences and kind of as I continue to grow as a person, I've learned to move past some of those.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad that you talked about that a little bit, about the how people could maybe hype you too much, because you need a hype corner.
You do definitely need a hype corner.
Yeah, but at the same time, it could be a detriment to you if it's not a good partner or a good friend is equal parts and balanced in their not in feedback, basically.
Yeah,
in
proper guidance.
Feedback, proper guidance, not criticism per se, but here's what you can do better and here's what I've noticed, right?
Yeah.
Ooh, good, yeah. And I feel like you and I do that for each other, which is part of the reason that I really am coming to understand how my gift is also a hindrance.
Yeah.
I feel like for my entire life, like I didn't know that I loved telling other people's stories until recently, but I've always loved listening to other people's stories and finding out about them. And to me, that just like gives me life. So with that, though, comes the fact that I hate telling my own story.
Yeah.
And
we're working on that, though.
We're working on it, right? But that lack of vulnerability it can be detrimental to relationships, and it's not something I've really fully understood until recently. So yeah, it's something to work on for sure. But I always think that no matter what, if you have a gift, there's probably going to be something that it can be a detriment, or it can hold you back fully from appreciating and enjoying your gift.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you are smart and prudent, then you're figuring out what that is and what that hindrance is so that you can get past it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. That was really, I think that was it. That's all we had for this one.
So what are we leaving for the people? Go out, explore your gifts.
Find your gifts. Yeah. We gave you a bunch of ways to do that. Honestly, truly, if you're like listening to us right now and you're like, guys, I don't even know where to start. Like, my self-reflection is not revealing anything to me. You can start with StrengthsFinder, and we love it. We use it for all of our classes. It's really helpful to help guide students. And yep, so we think that you would probably love it too. It is proprietary, so you can actually find it under StrengthsFinder, all one word. And then I think the assessment itself is like $10 total, maybe. And you get a book too. You can get the book
off Amazon or anywhere.
Yeah. Highly encourage you to do that if you just are listening and you're like, I don't even know where to start. Like, I don't know how to even start thinking about my strengths and finding my gift.
Or you can work with us and we can help navigate and facilitate the process for you.
There you go. We do actually do that. Yeah.
Yep. So it's an important thing. Like I said, I think it all ties back into life calling. So
yep.
Consider it.
Agree. All right, people.
Well, I'm done. I don't have anything else to say.
I don't either. But we love you guys.
Yep. Until the next time.
All right. We out.
We out.
Hey, everybody. If you like today's episode, please subscribe to the Success in Black and White podcast. You'll get notified every time a new episode is posted, which is every Tuesday.
If you loved this episode, help us spread the love. Rate and leave a review on our iTunes podcast episode. Also, share that you listen on social media and tag us on your posts. My social media handle is I am Daryl Lovett on all social media platforms.
And mine is April Dawn Lovett on all social media platforms as well. Thanks for listening. Oh my gosh, you sound like Keith Sweat.
Oh my goodness, really?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, did it record?
Yeah.